Smashing. Right, okay. So, this Sunday, our technical things are not firing on all cylinders, and my brain is not particularly either. So good luck, everybody. This is one of those Sundays where I would love a bit of encouragement from you guys. And so, if thanks, guys, that's awesome. So if I say something that you particularly agree with, this would be a great Sunday to be like, yes, come on, amen. We do this like once every month or something. This is that Sunday. Should we do that this Sunday? Should we have a yes, yes, we need this level of energy. Okay, I need to issue an apology to Chez. So we played that game Guess Who earlier in the gathering. That was my idea to play that game. So that didn't work, did it? But that was absolutely hilarious. So I was gonna do it as part of my talk, and I thought, oh, I'll have more time if Chez does it before, so that is completely 100% my fault. That worked in my head. It did not work in practice. Hilariously poor. But thank you guys for trying that game. But if you will humor me for one more moment, we're just going to play Guess Who one more time. But don't worry, we're not going to do the chaos standing up thing. We're just going to do it in our heads. So what I'd like all of us to do, I'd like to encourage you, if you feel comfortable to just close your eyes and engage your imaginations. And what I want you to do is I want you to imagine all of your friends stood up in front of you, all of them. Some of you are like, it's six people. And some of you are like, I can barely count them. So there's a lot. So just picture all of your friends in your mind. And we're just going to play a quick game of Guess Who with them. So what I want you to do is just flip down everybody who doesn't live in Gloucestershire. So we're thinking Gloucester and Cheltenham people, maybe in the villages surrounds. Flip down everybody who doesn't live in Gloucestershire. Okay, now I want you to do it again, but I want you to flip down everybody who is already part of a church. So anyone who's a churchgoer, anyone who's a Christian, flip those people down. You might need to kind of file in a few more people like that I forgot about in the first round. File some people in, have a little think. Now I want you to look at those people in your minds, and I want you to pick one single person. Pick one person in your brain that you would say you're the closest to. Who do you have the best relationship with out of all those people? Maybe it's your colleague, maybe it's a neighbor, someone from the school run, maybe it's your postie, maybe it's a family member. With your eyes closed, quickly raise your hand if you've got somebody in your mind. Okay, there's a few people. Okay, great. So there's a handful of us who have literally just moved to Gloucestershire, and you're like, I don't know anybody here. This doesn't work for me. I apologize. Bear with me. So open your eyes. Thanks so much. Why don't you just turn again to the people around you, and just for the next minute, just name that person. Say, oh, I was thinking about this person. They're my postman. I love them. And just tell them who was that person. You just got 1 minute. Go for it. Name them. And if you didn't quite think of somebody, you've got a minute to just think of somebody really quickly. So the criteria are, they have to live in Gloucester, they have to not, or Gloucestershire, they have to not be part of a church, and they have to be somebody that you have a good relationship with. Go, name them to your neighbours. Okay, great. Let's do one very quick show of hands. So who's got someone in their heads? Who's got someone in their heads? Yeah, okay, so most people have got somebody in their heads. So today, we're going to be talking about invitation. We're going to be talking about the important, yeah, you're like, it's a trap. I knew it was a trap. So today we're talking about invitation. The important practice, the habit, the commitment that it is as individuals and as a church to be inviting people to encounter Jesus and start a journey with him and inviting them to walk deeper in that journey as well. And so with that in mind, I want each of us to imagine what would happen if we were to invite that person to come to church with us next Sunday. Or to invite that person to come along on an alpha course and explore faith with us. Just picture that interaction right now. How would that feel? Exactly. How would that feel? Now, this is a place of real curiosity for me, something that I'm very, very curious about. And I was going to do a super cool, very slick, on the screens survey where we all get our phones out and we press some buttons on our phone and the results come up on the screen. This is clearly not the Sunday for that, right? Like if we can barely get the words up on the screen, that's obviously not gonna work. So who's ready for a quick lo-fi version of my high-tech survey? We're gonna do a quick survey because I'm a little bit curious about this. I'm really sorry, this is not gonna be as anonymous as it was gonna be, but we're just gonna roll with it anyway. So let's just do a quick, hopefully on your hands, you've got 10 fingers. And so I'm going to ask you to put up some fingers based on how comfortable or happy or you are or how much you agree with a statement. So how important do you think it is to share our faith with other people? So if you think it's totally unimportant, I want to see one finger. If you think it's totally, totally important, I want to see 10 fingers. Or you can do some variation in between. So you can be on the extremes or you can go somewhere in between. I can see so many palms, so that's high tens. What about inviting people to church? How important is it to invite people to church or invite people to Alpha. So one is totally unimportant. 10 is totally very important thing to be doing. Show me on your fingers. Very good. There's a handful of fingers that have gone down, but generally speaking, I can see a lot of palms. Okay, thank you very much. Here's another question. How comfortable would you say you are sharing your faith with your friends? So if you just think about that friend that we've just been imagining, how comfortable would you be sharing your faith? So one is totally, totally uncomfortable, and 10 is totally, unbelievably comfortable. Yeah, okay. Wow, you guys are way more confident than I am. Flippin' heck. Okay, what about inviting people to church? So this is totally uncomfortable, and this is totally, totally comfortable. Inviting people to church, be honest. Which church? That's a good question. That's a very good question. Okay, we're seeing some reluctance here. I can see some ones, I can see some twos. A few tens in the room. Fair play to you guys. I wish I was like you. In all fairness, I wish I was like you. Guys, thank you so much for taking part in that. The final question in the survey is quite important. And so, again, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you to just go back into those little groups again. And just for a minute, I want you to just articulate. If you were to experience a hesitation to invite someone to church or to share your faith, what would be the thing that would be the barrier? So please work with me on this one. This was going to be so slick, but it's not. So just turn to the people around you and just have a very quick conversation. What is the barrier to inviting that person to church? Is it maybe fear of rejection? Maybe it is fear that you might wreck the relationship. Maybe you've asked loads of people in the past and people haven't come, or you've shared your faith before and someone's ridiculed you. Like, what is it that kind of feeds that reluctance? So again, quickly into those groups, and I'd love to hear some feedback. So go for it. A couple of minutes and then feedback. Thanks so much. Okay, who's feeling brave? Who can shout out to me some reasons why we might feel some reluctance in inviting folks to church? Go for it.
What if that really eager person from church speaks to them and I'm like, no, don't speak to them because they're too scared, and it puts them off coming at all.
Okay. We're, this is a safe space, guys. This is a safe space. So high levels of cringe are possible.
Kerry said it's got to be the right point in the conversation. There's nothing weirder than just going straight in. Yeah.
Absolutely. Paralysis over like timing. Is this the right time to say this? Yes.
So I've got a lot of people that I would absolutely love to invite to church, but A, a lot of them live on the other side of the world, and B, a lot of them are the sorts of people that I just want to make sure they feel comfortable around that sort of thing, because some of my friends are a little bit bonkers like me, and it took me long enough to be cool with all of this, let alone some of my very autistic, very bonkers friends.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Charlotte. Maybe one more. Anybody else got one? Yes, go on, Jess.
We were talking about some friends that we have, and we've almost gone too far, like the opposite thing of almost maybe what they said over there, where if you've already had the conversation, and like, oh, yeah, I really respect your beliefs, and aren't Christians great, but I don't believe in God at all, so don't ask me to church. Like, where do you go then, like 10 years into a relationship, and they're still like, yeah, that's great for you, but, you know, I'm not interested. Thanks, bye. How do you reopen that?
You've got to love it when they're like, get your no in before the question is already asked. Like, I'm assuming that this is heading in a direction. The answer is no. You've got to love that. Guys, thank you so much for helping me with that. That was going to be so much more fun on the screens, but you guys did great. Thank you so much. Generally speaking, as we look out into the room, we can see that most of us would agree that it's a really important thing to be sharing our faith. It's a really important thing to be inviting folks to church. But less of us are comfortable with sharing our faith than we are with kind of that level of importance. And I think we see that as well. We see that because it's something that we rarely do. It's certainly something that I rarely do. Like, the gap between what we say is important and what we actually do, there's something in between that gap. And I think we've just articulated that, haven't we? There's a certain level of fear there. For me, if I was to articulate it, it would be that fear of rejection. Like, I would feel so embarrassed if I invited somebody to church and they were like, absolutely not. I would not be caught dead in your church. Oh, it just makes the whole relationship a little bit cringy and awkward after it. So, you know, fair play. And I just wanted to say, like, this isn't a criticism being leveled at our church. Like, we are absolutely not alone in this. There was some research that was recently carried out across Christians in the UK of who would invite folks to church, and it revealed that only 50% of churchgoers were actually willing to invite their friends to church. And a staggering I beg your pardon, I'm going to say that again. So 50% of churchgoers had a deep-seated reluctance to the idea of inviting folks to church, and a staggering 85 to 90% of Christians admitted that they had no intention of inviting friends to church at all. Now, I'm not entirely convinced by that final stat, but if that statistic is true, like, there's no wonder the church in the West is struggling. So let me just show my hand here. As I've already said, this is an area of growth for me. Like, I feel, I'm in that 50% who feels some reluctance about inviting people to church. I find it quite awkward. But one of the things that I've kind of committed to is when I notice that there's a discrepancy between what I say I believe and what I actually do in the world, I've kind of just started to pay attention to that. Like, if I say I believe one thing, but I actually do another thing, that's a bit of a problem, right? Like, anyone else ever found this? Like, I believe that healthy eating and exercise is really, really good for me. Hi, friends. I also believe that using my smartphone too much is also very bad for me. Yep, who's with me on that one? Like, I believe that sharing my faith and inviting folks to church is a really important, essential part of my Christian walk. And I do it maybe once a month if I'm being super generous to myself. Like, it's not something that I do all the time. And if I'm honest, the thing that sits in the middle is some kind of fear. But whatever it is for us sitting in that gap, be it a fear, our addiction, our insecurity, a pain, trauma, laziness, hypocrisy, whatever that thing is, I feel like that needs to be addressed. Like, that's just part of being a healthy adult, right? Amen? This is the moment where you say amen. I'm going to say it again, and then you say amen. As adults, if we witness a discrepancy between what we say we believe and what we actually do, that thing needs to be addressed, right? Amen? Yeah, that's just part of being a healthy adult. So what should we do? How should we as a church respond when we've observed that there's that discrepancy? I'd like to suggest that I'm just repeating myself there. So I'm going to move on. And so I want to just say a couple of really simple things today. And I thought the first thing that we would do is open our Bibles. Feels like the right moment to do that, right? So we're going to open our Bibles, and we're going to kind of speak some good truth into this moment. So as we engage with our Bibles, I would argue that one of the biggest things that the Bible is at pains to communicate to us is a little statement that goes a little something like, God is so good, and he gave me all my stuff. So as we engage with our Bibles, it's at pains to get this statement through to us. God is so good, and he gave me all of my stuff. We read Psalm 24 this afternoon, which starts with the immortal lines, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. It's not in it. Everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You know, when we pick up... Did that just land over there? Sorry. When we pick up our Bibles, we read that God is amazing, that he loves me, that he's good, he's generous, he's kind, he's powerful, that he gave me all this stuff. He gave me the clothes on my back. He gave me the breath in my lungs, the hair on my head, less and less every day. He gave me the money in my pocket. All of that stuff came from him and is a good gift from him, and I'm grateful to him. What an extraordinary foundational statement that is. And, you know, all of these things that I have are a good gift from him. God is so good, and he gave me all my stuff. Now, this statement is clearly and obviously true to us when we first start following Jesus. And following Jesus is about continually coming into agreement with the statement that God is good, and he gave me all my stuff, and I'm super grateful to him for that. But I've noticed that as time goes by, certainly in my heart, that statement somehow becomes tarnished. We somehow find that God's goodness and his generosity to us becomes kind of part of the furniture. Like, it doesn't amaze us like it used to anymore. It doesn't kind of motivate us like it used to. Anyone else notice that dynamic at play in their lives? Yeah? Kind of gets a bit tarnished, the shine goes off, and it doesn't inspire the same awe as it did. Well, there's another amazing psalm, which is Psalm 136, and this is cheesy, but we're going to do it anyway. It's kind of a call and response psalm. So, like, what happens is that somebody from the front, like me, says the statement, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And you guys all say, his faithful love endures forever. So we're going to do that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And it goes, give thanks to the God of gods. Let's say it like we're alive. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. Give thanks to him alone, for he alone does mighty miracles. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. Yeah, don't worry, we're not going to do the whole thing. And what this psalm then goes on to do is to tell the story of ancient Israel, about how God has loved them, been faithful to them, how he's accompanied them. And each line is punctuated by that refrain, his faithful love endures forever. And it gets to the final lines and it goes, he remembered us in our weakness. He saved us from our enemies. He gives food to every living thing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. Like these guys who wrote these psalms, they weren't superheroes. They had exactly the same brains and lives that we live. They struggled with the same things that we do. They were just like us. They needed to be reminded that God is good all the time, and that all the time God is good. And I think that we need to come to that same realization in 2025. I think we need to pay attention to that in 2025. If we're sitting here and we're nervous about inviting our friends into this space, maybe we should start paying attention to this way of thinking. Like, don't you feel like there's maybe a little bit of a discrepancy between the truth that God is absolutely amazing and has given me all my stuff, and yet I'm a little bit nervous to invite my friends into this space? Like, doesn't that strike you as odd? It strikes me as odd. And I'm not judging, I'm not trolling. You know, I live here too. I'm preaching this to myself. And so how do we get to this place? Well, I think if we started with this awesome realization that God is good and that he gave me all my stuff, sorry, like I say, not quite firing on all cylinders today, bear with me. I think that, as I said, that statement gets tarnished in our minds. It kind of becomes background noise to us, doesn't it? What was so inspirational to us and motivated us when we maybe first started following Jesus, maybe it doesn't quite pack a punch like it used to. And I really believe that the biggest barrier that we experience to inviting people to church into the kingdom is fear. It is fear that's fueled by the fact that we've forgotten how good and generous God is. I think we've just forgotten it. We've moved on and it's become background noise. There's another psalm which contains an extraordinary line which says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? Anybody ever prayed that prayer from a place of feeling like you've lost all of your joy? Like, I'm pretty convinced and convicted that the fact that we in the West have a problem with inviting people to church is actually a symptom of a much deeper problem. The problem is that if we're honest, we've lost the joy of our salvation. You know, we've somehow allowed our faith to go to sleep. We've allowed our zeal to slip away. We've allowed the fire in our hearts to go dim. Now, I've had one of those weeks where I've tried to write this about three times. Each time I've got about three quarters of the way through and realized that I'm just writing hints and tips. And, you know, things that we can think about to make it a little bit easier to invite our friends to church, like nifty little tools that you could use next time you find yourself talking to one of your colleagues. And each time I've got about three quarters of the way in and gone, to be honest, I don't think this is going to work. This isn't going to work. Like, this isn't a behavior problem that we have here. The problem is not that we're just not doing the things that we should be doing. I don't think the fact that that very few of us would actually feel brave enough to invite someone to church is the problem. I think the behavior is not the issue. I think that's just a symptom. And I think it's a symptom of us getting a little too comfy with our faith, a symptom that we've forgotten just how good God is, or forgotten just how messed up we were before God came and rescued us, or forgotten the trajectory our lives were on before God came and rescued us. We've forgotten the generosity and the faithfulness that God has showed to us in the past. We've forgotten the miracles that we've seen. We've forgotten the joy of seeing people coming to faith and turning their lives back to God. Instead of living from a place of joyful, childlike obedience to God, we live in a place defined by fear. Now, I am aware that I'm oversimplifying this. You know, for some of us, it's not this simple. It's not just a case of some time has gone by and our faith has gone a bit dim. Some of us know exactly how we got here. For some of us, we may be here because we've been hurt by church or hurt by leaders. Others of us are carrying significant confusion and disappointment from when we've invited people in the past and things haven't gone according to plan. And guys, that's really legit. Like, coming back from that kind of rejection is really hard. Others of us simply haven't had this modeled well to us. Maybe we've never even thought that a church would exist for the benefit of those not in the room. Whatever it is for us, I believe that if we have a burning hot fire in our hearts, invitation becomes obvious. If we truly believe that God is good all the time, and that all the time God is good, then invitation is obvious. When we encounter something good in the world, it's obvious to us. We tell everyone about it. Like, since I discovered Holy Gelato on the food dock, I have not shut up about it. I'm constantly taking people there. I'm constantly pointing people there. I'm constantly sharing the half and half trick. Who else knows the half and half trick? Yes, two or three of us. See me later. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. The half and half trick. Very important. When we discover a good thing, like, it's natural for us to share it with our friends, right? If we're convinced of its goodness. We do all the time with, like, ice cream joints, TV series, free parking spaces, AI hacks, apps, recipes, mortgage deals. But somehow it's different when it comes to inviting people to church. And obviously there's more at stake, but the core principle of this is the same. If we really believe it's good, then I don't think we struggle to invite. And so with the time I have left, which is probably less than a minute, which is way less than I need. If we feel some sort of resonance with what I've shared today, if we feel uncomfortable and unhappy, that maybe fear is driving the way that we act in the world, rather than our beliefs about who God is, then I was going to like say a whole bunch of really clever, slightly cheeky, maybe I thought they were funny points, like little things, but actually I kept writing them and going, that's just naff. That's so naff. Like, sure, it might make some people giggle, but actually that's not going to do anything. And so I've got one thing, one very, very simple thing. If we find ourselves in that place where we feel that reluctance, where we identify that fear, where we want to actually invite people more, but we don't quite know how to get there, I think that what we need to do is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. If we want to tackle the fear in our lives, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're feeling fearful, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we feel our love for God has gone cold, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we feel we've got experiences of disappointment, of confusion, of pain or pressure, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can try all sorts of gimmicks and tricks. I can make all sorts of practical suggestions like I did last week, but really, none of it has any real power compared to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a little story in our Bibles of when Jesus basically gave his apprentices and his disciples just the biggest invitation, instruction of all time. He said to them this, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus basically told his disciples to go everywhere making disciples, inviting literally every living person on the planet. And I love that language of being a witness, but I don't have time to unpack it anymore. He's asking us to go out into the world and show and tell the story. We are to be the storytellers. We're to be the inviters. And, you know, they've just been given the biggest invitation of all time. I've just asked you guys to think about inviting one person. They have to invite, like, the entire planet. So what do you think these guys did? What was their response? It was the same as ours. They were fearful. They were fearful. They locked themselves in a room. They're probably crying their eyes out. They have absolutely no idea what to do. They're absolutely bricking it. They're hiding in a room with the door locked, and they've got no idea how to get started. They're terrified that what people are going to think about them. We can relate to these people. And Jesus' instruction to them was really clear. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. Anybody know the first half of that sentence, though? He said something just before he said that. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes onto you." In the midst of their fear, in the midst of their inadequacy, the Holy Spirit came and overwhelmed them with his power. He came and lit a fire in their hearts, which burned in them and impelled them out the doors and onto the streets. The Holy Spirit met their hearts full of fear, and he exchanged it for hearts filled with courage and boldness. The Spirit even enabled them to speak in languages they didn't know. And heaven knows if we're going to reach Gen Alpha, we're going to need a little bit of that. Sheesh. I really, really strongly think that as a church, we need to recapture that habit, that instinct, that drive to invite people into the kingdom, to go out and say, come and see, come and see, come and see. We need to recapture this, but we don't recapture it by coming up with new slogans. We don't recapture it by trying new initiatives. We don't recapture that heart by trying harder or beating ourselves up when we fail. We recapture it by returning to the source, by going back to God and saying, "Hi, God, I'm afraid. Please fill me with your power and your presence. Lord, fill me now like you filled them then. I need to be empowered. I need help working through my disappointment, my beef, my baggage. Holy Spirit, come and fill us, we pray." And so we're going to finish today by inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, to come and empower us to go out into the world and do just this. And so, Embo, would you be up for coming and playing the keyboard? That would be amazing. And so what we're going to do is, I'm just going to encourage us to stand up in a minute, and we're going to close our eyes, and I'm going to invite you to put your hands out as if you're receiving a gift. And if you don't want to respond to this, that's absolutely fine, but we're going to just respond where we are. And I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to just come and fill us up. This is something that we do here on a Sunday, but it's also something that can be a regular daily routine for us. Some of us will take some time out of our day every day to sit quietly and to just open our hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need to be filled again today. So this has been probably the most garbled message I've ever done in my life. Thank you for bearing with me. But the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit doesn't need me to speak articulate sentences in a straight line to come and bless us. So isn't that great? I just want to encourage each of us to stand now if you feel comfortable, if you'd like to respond. And maybe you want to close your eyes and pop your hands out, just as if you're about to receive a gift, as if someone's about to put a gift in your hands. And we're going to just pray one of the simplest and oldest prayers that Christians have been praying for thousands and thousands of years. We're just going to pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, would you fill us? And in our hearts, as we stand in this posture, you might just want to pray a really simple prayer in your heart that goes along the lines of, Lord, I open my heart to you now. Come and fill me up. Maybe we want to bring some things to say, look, I'm disappointed about this. Look, I'm confused about that. And we could say, Holy Spirit, would you fill this up? Let's open our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you empower us like you did back then? Would you fill us with courage like you did back then? Come, Holy Spirit. Some of us might be experiencing some things. Keep your eyes closed, keep engaged. You might feel something physically in your body, like a sensation of joy, maybe some goosebumps somewhere. You might feel absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. We're just going to stay in this moment of receiving. Come, Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh? Come, Holy Spirit. The kiddos are back. That doesn't drive the Holy Spirit from the room. Kiddos, come and find your parents. We're going to circle you in with what we're doing here. It is great to see you. Welcome back. My goodness, I can see some stickers. You guys look amazing. Hey, Rosanna. Okay, go find your grown-ups. Thanks so much, guys. Okay, kiddos, welcome back. As grown-ups, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. And guys, I'd love to invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill you too. So if kiddos, if you've just come back into the room, what we're doing is we're putting our hands out as if we're about to receive a gift. So why don't you pop your hands out with us, and I'm just going to pray one more time that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us. So kids, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, pop your hands out as well. Holy Spirit, come and fill us up afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm seeing joy stickers being spread around the room. This is awesome. So good. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring your joy. Bring your peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you fill us up from the bottom of our toes to the tops of our heads? Come, Holy Spirit. So many stickers being passed around. All right, let's sing, and then something else will happen.